Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our good friend at Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. In the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, you can always go to the Hilscher's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. You can go to hilscherstore.com. 7 miles south of Seals Grove on Susquehanna Trail. Kevin Herr in the house.
Good day to go get the boots the way the weather sounds. Mess coming.
Big time mess. I was in New England, as a matter of fact, yesterday. I'm glad I got out.
Yeah, it's going to be worse that direction. Some areas calling for 2 feet here, 1 to 3.
Really?
That is correct. Some areas calling for 2 feet up in New England, though. That's a lot of snow. Even for New England, that's a lot of snow.
Well, let's go back to recruiting for a moment. Joining us is Josh Moyer from ESPN.com. Josh, welcome. We were talking last half hour with Joe Susan of Bucknell about positional balance. When you look at Penn State's positional balance, Josh, how do you think that played out?
Yeah, well, I think that's something Bill O'Brien echoed in his press conference yesterday. I mean, you've got a good mix there. You have 9 defensive guys, 8 offensive guys. And, you know, the fact is, he said he's not just trying to build talent. He's trying to build a team. And I think they have that with, you know, players that can complement each other. Like, you have Adam Brenneman. I mean, there's a guy, you know, you line him opposite Kyle Carter. They could be they'll easily be the top tandem in the Big Ten. And, you know, certainly, you know, they've already gone to calling themselves tight end U. So I think that moniker is going to fit pretty well in a few years. And then you have, you know, Deshaun Hamilton. He's another guy who really complements Allen Robinson well. In a lot of ways, they're kind of the same player. So I definitely do think, I mean, it's not just adding talent and finding a lot of individual guys. It's finding guys who can gel. And I think Penn State really did a good job with that this recruiting class.
The fact that a lot of these guys worked hard to then recruit other players within the class, what does that tell you about this particular class? And is it a little bit different than some other because of the circumstances?
I wasn't any different because of the circumstances. But Chris Schoenberg and Adam really took it here, and it's like having two more assistant coaches helping you do your recruiting here. I talked to a couple 2014 guys, Greg Miklas. He's a linebacker in Florida, and he said, you know, Christian has been one of those guys he's been able to turn to and talk with whenever he's had questions. And as a result of that, you know, Greg said if Penn State would offer, I mean, that's one of the 5 schools he would take an official visit to easily. And, I mean, you just have another guy, Thaddeus Snodgrass. You know, he's a big-name wideout. He's from Ohio. Penn State, you know, mentioned repeatedly they need to do a better job recruiting kids in Ohio because that's really been a state they've lost out to, you know, to both, not just Ohio State, but even Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan's done really well in Ohio. Michigan has always done very well in Ohio.
Yeah, absolutely. And Penn State, you know, they really haven't. So Snodgrass is from Ohio, you know, and again, Hackenberg's been talking to him a lot as well. So, you know, there definitely is that there where they're trying to get more recruits. And the new 2014 commit, Mark Allen, he's already in a couple guys' ears in the Washington, D.C. area telling them, hey, you need to come to Penn State, you know, commit, be my teammate, let's do this. So I think it really speaks a lot to, you know, the fact that these guys just don't want to come to Penn State. They're trying to get their friends and even guys they don't know, you know, to come over to Happy Valley.
And we could talk about how the coaches are restricted all they want. Players aren't restricted in terms of what they can tweet, how many calls they make, and so forth. Thus, they can become your best recruiters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could, you know, Jordan Smith, you know, is another guy from D.C. who's telling pretty much everybody he can to come to Penn State. He's enrolled now, obviously, but I know he knows Stephon Morris and his father very well. And I mean, they've been in the D.C. area. I think he's called 2014 quarterback Troy Vincent just about every week. You know, Troy just laughed about it, said, you know, at first he thought it was the staff doing it. But, you know, Jordan said, no, I mean, it's just Jordan doing it on his own.
Makes a big difference. When you look at this particular class and then you lump it with last year's class in which so many players in that class were redshirted, Akeel Lynch being among them, Johnson, the big defensive tackle, among them. How do you like the back-to-back classes and the balance between those two?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, again, Penn State's filling needs here, but if you look at the defensive tackles last year, for instance, I think they signed three defensive tackles, and they were able to redshirt them all. I mean, Bill O'Brien's philosophy here is you're going to contribute a lot more as a fifth-year senior than you are as a first-year freshman. I mean, I think he would redshirt everyone if he could. So I think, you know, just like this year, in 2013, you're going to see most of these guys redshirt so they can have that core of players, you know, those complementing players, you know, together for even longer.
How did you get into this part of it?
What do you mean by that?
Well, into the recruiting end of it, into the blogging end of it and so forth. How'd you get into all that?
Well, I mean, you know, I've covered Penn State football for a while, and, you know, I just thought it was interesting, too, to cover recruiting because you're kind of getting a jump start on covering Penn State's players of tomorrow today. You know, before I'd covered Anthony Morelli. I'd never seen how he had done in high school, and, you know, I just thought that would be interesting to do. I was able to watch Christian Hackenberg play this year, kind of see what he's capable of in the future. And I think it's just kind of interesting to see, you know, how these guys pan out. I mean, for every, you know, five-star guy who doesn't make it, I mean, you have Eric Shrive, who's a solid backup, you know, but people thought he'd be the top tackle. You have a guy like Allen Robinson. You know, ESPN, we ranked him as the number 201 wideout in his class. You know, no one took a chance on him. You know, people wondered if they were just taking Allen Robinson to kind of please, you know, Rob Bolden. And obviously now you look back at that class, you know, he's a top five wideout, you know. So I just think it's kind of interesting, the dynamic of how this all plays out with, you know, the star ratings and just kind of seeing, you know, who contributes right away and who develops, who doesn't. I think it's kind of an interesting game.
You mentioned you watched Christian Hackenberg play in high school. When you watched him, what did you like?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was standing there on the sideline, and the first pass he threw, I was almost hit by a defender because I was just kind of captivated by, it had to be a 40-yard pass, you know, perfect spiral, didn't wobble at all, and I was just really surprised by, you know, how well he was able to throw it as a 17 or 18-year-old kid. You know, he definitely had a quick release. I mean, he was able to sling that ball everywhere, and his offensive line, you know, they were young, they were improving, and he really had to run for his life in the game I had seen. But, you know, he had definitely shown a lot of poise and, you know, definitely looking forward to seeing what he can do here at Penn State now.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that in that particular game you had to watch him run for his life. Okay, I find that to be an interesting comment because you find out something about them when they, quote, have to run for their life. So what did you find out for him when you had to watch him face adversity?
Well, you know, he didn't really seem to get down on himself. I was there on the sideline because if you go to Fort Union, you know, it's not exactly the biggest game in the town. It's a very, very small area. You know, you have one gas station. You know, that's pretty much it. So, you know, I was standing there right on the sideline, and, you know, he just jogged over. He talked to his coach, you know, maybe his teammates, what he saw. And, you know, despite getting hit, you know, getting some bad breaks, you know, he just always got back up again. And talking to his opposing coaches, you know, I talked to, you know, all the guys he had faced, you know, this past season. They all said the same thing. He's a guy who, you know, if a guard lets someone slip through and sack him, you know, he's not going to yell at that guard. He's going to pick him up, pat him on the shoulder, and, you know, they're going to go right at it the next play. So, I mean, I definitely think that's the attitude you need here at the next level. You can't be blaming other people. And I think, you know, Hackenberg definitely fits the bill in that respect.
Did you see any of the other Penn State recruits in person this year?
I'm trying to think. Offhand,
obviously, Brennan, you couldn't because he was out all year. But...
Yeah, well, I did see Andrew Nelson in Hershey, okay. Pennsylvania. And he's another guy. I tried to keep track of how many pancakes, you know, and guys who let through the line. But I'm telling you, Steve, as soon as I would, you know, glance up, it was hard to keep track of him because he would be 5 yards upfield and I'd lose track of him in a blink of an eye. And I know he's a guy Bill O'Brien said yesterday they were really looking forward to, you know, seeing play. And normally you don't hear Bill, you know, kind of, you know, expound upon, you know, a recruit being really good. So I think when he kind of, you know, targeted Andrew Nelson, said he was going to be something special, you know, you can read a little bit into that. I mean, when Bill O'Brien, you know, says a guy who isn't on the team yet is going to be something special, you can believe him. And I think, you know, Andrew's wanted to be a Penn State kid since fourth or fifth grade, and I really think he's going to be something special here for Penn State, too.
And when you go and you watch, it's one thing to sit there and watch a quarterback, watch a running back or a receiver. You can get a pretty good read on probably linebackers and DBs. How do you get a read on linemen, especially offensive linemen?
Well, it is, you know, definitely a little bit tricky. I mean, I'm a recruiting writer, you know. I'm not a scout like, right. You know, Tom Lugendorf for ESPN. But I think, you know, a lot of it is just kind of, you know, reporting and talking to the defensive linemen afterward to see what they have to say. And, you know, when they shake their heads and tell you they haven't faced a guy like that in their careers, you know, you're getting a good one. But with Andrew, the thing that really stuck out with me is, you know, normally with the defensive linemen, you know, you'd have guys, you know, moving from maybe left end to right end, maybe the interior, you know, try to take the offense off guard. Andrew Nelson is an offensive lineman. That's what they were doing with him on the offense. He'd be, you know, a left tackle on this play. You know, maybe a few plays later, they'd put him at right tackle. Then he was left guard because they're running behind, you know, Andrew Nelson. You know, so they're actually trying to confuse the defenses by where they line Nelson up on the offense. And that's not something you see every day. And to be able to see, you know, he was able to pull as a guard, you know, run upfield to get the block. You know, as a left tackle, he was able to, you know, stop the corner and you know, not allow a sack. I mean, I think that definitely kind of speaks to the type of player he is. So, you know, at least for me, I was really paying attention to Andrew's versatility, and that's something that really impressed me with him.
During the course of a year, how many players do you really get a chance to see across the board, where you're really taking a look at them with the idea of trying to figure out what I want to do with them in ranking?
Well, again, you know, I don't do so much of the rankings. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably get a chance. You know, I go to, you know, one or two high school, you know, football games a week, you know, and try to see as many, you know, prospects and, you know, as I can. You know, we've gone down to, you know, Baltimore. We have guys everywhere who have watched Nico Robinson, you know, in Florida. And yeah, I mean, we really do try to see everyone. I think, you know, probably when you take into consideration all of our recruiting writers, I think we've probably seen out of all the commits, we've probably seen all but maybe about four play.
Amazing. That's amazing. The legwork that takes. Give me an idea of the legwork it takes, and not just on your part, but people that you consider to be reliable contacts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's definitely, you know, something you have to go at, you know, full speed. But, you know, it's kind of fun, you know, following these guys because, you know, they're still in high school. You know, they're, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, O'Brien wasn't kidding when he talked about their good families and good attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these guys, you know, they're not egotistical, and you know, it's just kind of fun to cover them and kind of see where they go from here. So, you know, it has been fun. You know, they're not just talented high school football players, but know, they are good people, too, and I think that's something that, you know, Penn State fans can kind of take pride in as well with this 2013 class.
Obviously, you know, when you look at various services, Ohio State, Michigan did well. It seems like the consensus is that on this particular day and this particular day, a lot of people at Penn State in that three spot in the Big Ten. Is that an accurate assessment?
Well, it's pretty close. You know, at ESPN, we had Nebraska at number 23 and Penn State at number 24.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's pretty much, but yeah, you're right. I mean, pretty much, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, they had, you know, top five classes. And, you know, after that, if you're looking at, you know, who did best after that, I mean, Penn State's definitely in the conversation. I mean, I think they've been definitely one of the recruiting surprises, you know, of this season.
Okay, Rutgers, Maryland. They both will get in. Now, we know Maryland for sure July 1st, 2014. You and I both know Rutgers will work it out where by July 1st, 2014, they're in as well. Did you get any read? Because the recruits that each one of them picked up this time will be playing in the Big Ten. In fact, they will play the vast majority, and in some cases, for some of them, all of their career in the Big Ten. What kind of read did you get on whether that had an impact on their classes?
Yeah, well, you know, I talked to a lot of, you know, current high school juniors, because I am kind of curious, you know, when you have a school like Maryland, you know, Penn State, you know, Larry Johnson Sr., you know, they've really been able to, you know, go to Maryland, go to Virginia and get these recruits. So, you know, when Maryland comes into the Big Ten, how will that affect them? Well, you know, a lot of juniors told me that, you know, it didn't really make Maryland an attractive choice, but more attractive, rather, because, you know, here at Penn State, you know, becomes the third largest city on Saturdays. You know, you don't get that at Maryland. It's not the same atmosphere. And that's something I keep hearing from, you know, guys who are coming from Maryland to Penn State, that football means more here. That's another reason why they want to come here. So, I mean, it'll probably affect it a little bit, but they really like the fact that, you know, hey, now they kind of have a home game. If they go to Maryland, their friends can come see and everything like that. So, you know, I think to some extent it's going to help them. But, you know, when you have, you know, Rutgers, for example, if they're making BCS bowls, kind of getting more national exposure, I think that's what Penn State has to worry about. I think right now, you know, Penn State's in great.
I think we lost him there. Sorry, Josh. We lost Josh on the line. All right. Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. Appreciate it very much. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 1-800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hillshire's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Go to www.hillshirestore.com. Located 7 miles south of Dillon's Grove on Susquehanna Trail.
It's easy to find. If you're headed to Harrisburg, it's 11 to 15, 7 miles south of Dillon's Grove. You'll pass it on the right. You can even fill up while you're there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fill up the tank and fill up your own personal tank.
That's exactly right. Alex Collins, by the way, did sign with Arkansas. He got his father to sign the letter of intent after his mother absconded with it yesterday.
That's a good word.
He wanted to go.
I like that word.
I'm broadcasting from a college, man.
You're smart.
You don't sit here and use monosyllabic words all the time.
Oh, there's another good one. Wow, you're on fire today. Boy, a day off and he's just pulling out everything out of the thesaurus.
I got 2 hours of sleep yesterday. 2 hours. I got to Connecticut at 3:45 in the morning after the game, and I was up and out by 6:45. I get to the exit for the hospital at 8:25. His appointment's at 9, and then we sat there.
You feel like charging them just for your time.
I know. So.
But your game came up frequently yesterday.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, all that's right. What I figured.
There you go. Jason Johnson says he wants his app back. So he can listen to the show. He wants to hear you be harassed.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So open line time now. Final half hour of the show after having Josh Moyer from ESPN.com on and Joe Susan, the head football coach of Bucknell. Now it's our time to sit back and chat at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Susquehanna Trail. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today's show is brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 1-800-609-9484 or at REWfinancial.com. Now we make the next transition. Now recruiting is over with. That was the big thing, National Letter of Intent Day. You know what I noticed yesterday, what every coach had in common?
What's that?
They all liked their recruiting classes.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You didn't hear one of them say, "Oh man, I would tell you, we got a bunch of dogs. I'm really worried.
I didn't get anybody I wanted.
I got nobody." I mean, I'll tell you right now, program's in trouble.
Can you imagine actually somebody doing that?
Here'd be my favorite. My favorite would be, I tell you right now, we didn't do very well at all. I'm just very concerned. We got a bunch of dogs, but you know what? I know why we didn't. Why is that? Because XXX over there at North Dakota State, he's cheating his brains out there paying kids.
Now, there's a team that team that does well every year too. Yeah, there's got to be something going on there.
What's going on? Just saying. You're waiting for somebody to be that blunt about what the deal is.
You know, they're good every year. They're doing something there. I mean, let's face it. That's North Dakota is not a haven for vacation and college vacations. So they're doing something wrong up there.
I'm telling you right now, they are peeling paper. They are peeling paper over there at pick whatever, Oregon U, Nevada State. Pick one. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Steve?
Great. How you doing?
Okay. How's Kevin over there?
Well, I'm here. And that's all you can hope for some days, you know?
Well, that 30-second infomercial I gave yesterday, huh?
The 30-second infomercial? Which one? What would refresh my memory?
Well, with Buhner about recruiting wrestling.
Oh, the wrestling recruiting.
Yeah,
yes,
30
yes,
seconds
yes,
to get everything in.
That's right. I remember now. Sorry, that was 24 hours ago. There's not a whole lot of memory space up here at the top of my head.
Why do I sense I miss nothing?
Well, Steve, I just called to talk to you about the three things that caught my ear in the conversations you were having with different people. But that little thing that you said about Urban Meyer, just mind your own business and take care of your own.
I'm a big believer in that.
You know, and the kids that, you know, the young men that have, between signing scholarships and also running on, like you said, we'll see what happens in the 4 years.
Well, that's what I mean. It just takes time. I mean,
to sit there and rank a recruiting class. Everybody wants rankings on everything so that they have a general feel about how well everybody did. I understand that completely. It's not how I operate. I really don't care if Ohio State is the fourth-ranked recruiting class 3 years from now when Penn State's beating them. I'm not going to sit there and go, hey, Jack, look, they had the fourth-ranked recruiting class and the cut, blah, blah. That stuff is irrelevant and immaterial once you actually put pads on them and then they start to go to work, because the transition time for players, each completely different.
Okay, well, two quick things, and I'll get off and let somebody else get in. One is, you said about the recruiting. Paul Pliznowski, Shane Conlon, out of New York. He was a two-star guy, and Joe brought him in based on basketball, didn't see him in football.
He only had an offer from one of the school.
Yeah. And the other thing was, after that hard, tough loss Friday night out at Iowa, what the kids did, what the young men did Sunday with Illinois, shutting out the top 10 team.
Right. What happened in most sports, it's about matchups. And Penn State did not do a good job against Iowa at all on matchups. Penn State did not get one win or one bonus point extra than what you thought they might have. Iowa did. And that was the key. Iowa picked up wins and bonus points where you weren't sure. Penn State did nothing except the expected against Iowa.
Well, in today's Patriot, the coach said, it says, about as far as getting escapes and stuff, they turned the wrong way. There's a couple of things you just had to take, minor things to take, you know, clean them up and say, hey, guys, come on. There was an article in today about that.
Exactly. But now, see, what's going to happen now is that they're not going to be in a dual meet situation.
Right.
By not being in a dual meet situation when they wrestle at the Big Tens and at Nationals, it'll just be about garnering wins, accumulating points. But in terms of one-on-one individual matchups, Penn State did not do a single thing against Iowa at all where they picked up a bonus in an individual matchup. Taylor picked up bonus points, but you expect him to. Ruth didn't. Quentin Wright didn't. You know, I mean, guys that you hope would get you bonus points didn't. Iowa's guys did get bonus points, and then with Matt Brown losing was huge. The Alton brothers are not in shape enough to go 7 minutes.
No, and I said I'll be honest, when Ruth and then Quentin Wright, no bonus points, no taking to your back.
Right.
You know, the stuff like you're used to seeing. Taylor, Kevin, not the recruiting class that's coming in for. There's three guys in wrestling next year. The three guys and the other three guys are walking on. They're all from Pennsylvania.
Right.
But the following year, the only three guys they're talking to right now, two are from Pennsylvania and one's from Maryland. But they're all in the top five in their respective weight in the country.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next year then. Very preliminary stuff there. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next year.
Well, the one kid that State's bringing him in at 184, he wrestled the Haynes kid who's already gave a verbal to State.
Right.
And he's at 220, but he'll be wrestling at a heavyweight. But they've already faced each other. The kid from Maryland beat him 8-4 in a dual meet in a tournament.
Well, it's like we were saying yesterday. There's some really quality college wrestling in the state of Pennsylvania. When you have five teams in the top 25, I mean, I think it's tough for anybody to recruit Pennsylvania wrestlers, and because you have so much competition here in the state. I mean, there's a lot of good choices in the state of Pennsylvania for a young man coming out of high school.
Trying to remember names, Hammond and Law. I'm trying to remember. And there's a kid out of Keski that, because I'm just doing this, I'm downstairs. The article that has a lot of information is upstairs. okay? Or I could give you all this stuff right up, you know, trying to remember the... There was a kid from Kesky that is walking on. This kid, Hammond's the one kid, and the kid's on his wall. The two other guys are coming in with Rutherford, okay, on scholarship. And then there's the three other guys that are walking on. There's six this year, you know, three on scholarship and three walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... Look, there's 9.9 scholarships in wrestling, so you're going to have walk-ons are very, very important, very
yeah.
important. The fact they want to walk on is critical.
Well, I'll let you go and let somebody else get in.
Dave, thank you. Our number 1-800, yep, our number 1-800-795-9565.
Steve, we got a tweet from Gary Gilliam, says he's officially an offensive tackle.
Yeah, he talked to us about that back in November.
Yep.
As a matter of fact.
It's now official then, I guess.
He walks up to me and says, Steve, look at the size. Look at the size of me. Look how big I am now. Look how big I am. He said, I'm an offensive tackle. I said, yeah. Now you got to remember that it's, everybody's like, well, oh, Brenneman. Hey, remember Wilkerson's there too. Okay. Okay. So now their cup runneth over at tight end. Door opens for one. He gets to move the tackle. That's big. Put him there, you know, and he has a chance to win a starting spot at tackle. He'll be a good tackle. He'll be a good tackle. Long arms, good feet.
It's not many times you see a guy excited about going from tight end to offensive tackle, but he seems pretty excited about it.
His senior year, Irv Pankey started 1978 as a tight end. They then moved him. About 3-4 games into the season to the right tackle spot. Okay. 20 years later, he retired from the NFL. You know, it's all about Larry. Look at Larry Brown. Larry Brown is a Hall of Fame offensive tackle. He started his career as a tight end with the Steelers. In fact, in Super Bowl 90, he caught a touchdown pass as a tight end. So it's not unprecedented.
How many times does that happen in a year? I mean, how many guys actually do shift around positions from what they're originally intended? Is that a common thing, or is it not too many guys do that every year?
Well, if you're not playing, you're shifted. If they see an opportunity to put you in a spot where maybe you have a chance to be good, yeah, they'll shift you around. But most of that shifting happens in the spring, at the beginning of spring, and it usually happens at the beginning of training camp. There isn't a lot of shifting that goes on during the course of a season. Now, it happens sometimes. Jesse Della Valle, for example, spent a good chunk of the spring at corner, part of the preseason at corner, but then in the end got flipped to safety. He played more safety, Jesse did, during the course of practice than he was playing at corner when he was out there. So there's one guy who changed a spot in the middle of the season and did so in the practice field. So that happens. Most of the done or pre-spring. Every once in a while, they'll take somebody, flip them over for a day or two just to get a look. Especially if somebody gets hurt. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilshire's General Store. Jason Johnson on our Facebook page. What do I think about Gary Gilliam moving the tight end to offensive tackle? All right. Well, that's the first of all, long arms, good feet, agility. He has a chance to be a very good offensive tackle. Penn State also has depth at tight end. Lehman, Jesse James, Kyle Carter, Wilkerson. And haven't even mentioned Adam Brenneman yet. Coming off an ACL last June, I'll be very cautious about freely throwing his name around. Out of fairness to him, I don't think we need to be throwing around the name of freshmen at this stage till we actually see them practice. But I think that I think it's going to be a good move, and I think it's going to be a move that helps the football team. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Veloster three-door coupe with black interior under 7,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $17,999. 2008 Ford Fusion, four doors with four-wheel drive, $13,966. A 2006 Lincoln LS four-door V8 sport sedan, just $12,455. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door GLS, lowest price promise, $59.45. 2011 Ford F-150 regular cab, just $17,995. And 2011 Ford Explorer four-wheel drive XLT, $28,523. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Up next after this will be the Brady Bunch. Our number 1-800-795-9565.
I told you you'd like that one.
Oh, brother. You wake up every day. Is there a moment where your mind relaxes?
Yeah, there is. Usually it's around 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
That's assuming there's not a game going on.
Okay.
You asked.
No, I'm in a constant state of relax.
Oh, see, no, I can't. I know that. You are the definition of relaxed.
It bothers you.
Actually, it does. Well, I shouldn't say it bothers me. It disturbs me.
Why? You came up in the booth last year, and like,
yeah.
it bothered you. I could tell. It's like a three-ring circus up there, and like we're just like, yeah, whatever.
No. What bothered me is when you walk in, you sat down, you had almost no papers in front of you, and start calling the game. That's what bothered me. I can't do that. I have to have this spread of papers in front of me, my tablet in front of my face, so I can, you know, get my numbers. And I have to have all, it's almost, you know, I have to have my comfort zone. You, nothing. Just two papers and a cup of coffee or whatever it was you were drinking that day before the Perrier came.
Well, Jack always brings Perrier. It was make sure it's the elixir of champions.
Yes. And then you have Roger Corey, who, by the way, is a great guy. I enjoy talking with him a lot. Roger is me, okay?
Yes, he is.
Roger is me. So I feel what he's going through working with you. I know that feeling now.
What? I think I'm easy to work with. I'm very self-sufficient. I don't sit there and like, I need this, I need that. If I need something, I go get it.
No, but I have to admit, Steve, it's a little annoying when you're sitting. I mean, I get Roger's point. You know, he's working, he's got all these, you know, he's got all the buttons in front of him, he's got all the pots and everything, and he's thinking, okay, I got to go here. Steve, make sure you're ready at this point to do this and this. And you're like, okay.
What do you want me to do?
It's like, do you need smelling salts?
No, I just...
Okay.
I'm very relaxed. I don't...
No kidding.
No, I mean, I don't put any papers in front of me.
No.
No, I never do.
I don't even think you had a roster that day.
No, I have charts.
I said a roster. I didn't say charts. I said a roster.
Oh, I do have a roster on each team.
All right.
Oh, no, I always have a roster on each team. I want a numerical one and not alphabetical. And the reason is that, for example, if something happens on special teams, I want to make sure that if it's somebody that's not on my chart already, it's possible, you know.
Oh, it has to be numerical. Nothing is worse than when you and as a fan, anybody that's been in basketball gyms, I think this is a big problem because I see a lot of basketball teams doing this when they hand out their program. It's by grade.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's great to honor them, you know, as the seniors leading the list. But it's really hard when you're watching a game, even as a fan, going back and forth, going, okay, that was four. Where's he? Junior, sophomore. Oh, freshman. There he is.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I probably already have all the numbers memorized before I go in anyway.
Yeah, I believe that. It's that photographic memory of yours.
Well, so it's not, but I will put... It's usually off to my right. I have both rosters there. And
did I just hear ice clinking?
Yes.
Really?
I needed a cold drink.
Oh, man.
What?
The Sunbury Motors studio must be posh. I mean, do you have a mini fridge in there or did you decide to go with the cooler the cooler type of thing?
No. I just was thirsty, so I poured myself a Diet Coke.
I'd like an iced tea, please, on the rocks. Clink, hey. Clink.
I mean, I'll be at Damon's in an hour with Patrick Chambers. But no, I mean, I go in. I can't explain why I'm relaxed. I don't, you know. I would get up at pep rallies like with 25,000 people out there. I go, hey, how you doing? I don't know. How am I supposed to be?
I can't tell you. You just have to experience it. You got to get in the zone. You got to get focused. You're like all over the place, 5 seconds here. This is a Penn State Sports Network. It's like, how do you do that? You can hold six conversations at once and then open the broadcast.